Well, hello, children. It is a beautiful Saturday, and I hope you have been enjoying today's day with the beautiful weather outside. And as we all know, it is a special week for Christians. We look at the events that were happening in the Bible during this week, and such things as the entrance into the Jerusalem, as Jesus rode the donkey, and the preaching in the synagogues, and the Last Supper, the Passion of the Christ, and His crucifixion. And today, as a Saturday, I would like to invite you guys on a trip to the past. So, today is a Saturday. Now, let's pretend that we are back in time during Jesus' time, when He was crucified. And let's say for a moment that you have been a part of a crowd that watched Jesus enter into Jerusalem. Let's imagine that you were one of the children that laid down a palm branch for the donkey to step on as Jesus rode it pass by you. Let's pretend that you were old enough to be in a synagogue and listen to Jesus preach. And let's imagine that you've witnessed Jesus do miracles, as heal a man with a withered hand. Imagine witnessing all these great miracles that Jesus performed. Imagine hearing of Jesus being arrested and taken before Pontius Pilate. Imagine hearing people screaming, "Crucified," knowing that this is the same Jesus that was just recently performing miracles that were beyond your understanding, beyond your reasoning. Now imagine hearing Jesus Christ being crucified and that He is dead. Imagine feeling the earthquake that happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Now, this is a lot to imagine, but I want us to take a step back in the future and try to imagine what people were going through on Saturday, realizing that Jesus Christ is dead, hearing that He will be resurrected, but still having that slight disbelief that He will be resurrected. And as we go through today's lessons, I want us to have a greater understanding and appreciation of purpose of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And to start off with, I want us to understand the reason why Jesus Christ even had to come to this world, live a sinless life, and die for us. So let's pretend that I'm a judge. And in order to be a judge, I have to promise that I will always enforce the law. What if the law tells me to do something that I don't want to? For example, let's say the law requires me to sentence people to jail if they sell, let's say, illegal drugs. What would you say if I sentence a man to jail for selling drugs to a third graders? Would you say I did the right thing? What if the person selling drugs was not a man, but a teenager? Or another third grader who sold drugs to a third grader? Does my promise require me to send all of these people to jail? Whose decision is it? Now, what if the person selling drugs turns out to be my own child, or a brother, or a dad? What would you say if I was sending everyone else to jail for this offense, but when it came to my family members, I set them free? Wouldn't that make me a judge who didn't keep His promise in the beginning? And that is exactly the position God was in when man rebelled in the Garden of Eden. He loved Adam and Eve a great deal. He wanted them to be His companions and hoped they would decide on their own to obey Him. However, we do know that they didn't. Instead, they choose to eat the fruit of good and evil so they could become like God. And their disobedience was very painful to God, because disobeying God is a sin. And as we know, the penalty for sin is death. Now, God faces a situation. Could he be a loving creator and just judge at the same time? That's a very interesting question. And that is where Jesus comes in. You see, if Adam and Eve were to die for the sin that they committed, all it would do is just pay the price for it, or take the punishment for the sin that they committed. But that wouldn't reunite them with God. That would simply be a just punishment. And this is why God sent Jesus, his very own son, to die in man's place. That incredible act of love satisfied both God's justice and his love for us. So let's try to put this in an easier term. God sends his son to provide a way. His son lives a sinless life and sacrifices his life for our sins. And the best part is that death couldn't hold Jesus. God resurrected Jesus on the third day, and he came back to life. And he is now in heaven, preparing a place for every person that believes that Jesus Christ died specifically for his or her sins. And before we move forward, I would like you to hit the pause button and have a discussion with your parents, your family, brothers and sisters on the following questions. How do you understand sin? What's the punishment of sin? And for whose sins did Jesus Christ die for? And as we move forward, I would like us to understand why some of the people wanted to kill Jesus. Now, imagine you were so sick that your parents wanted to take you to an emergency room instead of to church. Unfortunately, they couldn't because it was against the law for doctors to work on Sunday. Well, as strange as it seems to us today, when Jesus lived on earth, many activities were forbidden by Jewish law on the Sabbath. Now, Sabbath was considered a day that was set aside specifically to worship God. In fact, the ancient Jewish people lived under a different set of laws than we do today. And Jesus often got in trouble with a powerful group of religious leaders called Pharisees, because Jesus broke their laws about how God's Sabbath should be observed. And as we read a few stories from the Bible, you will notice how sometimes Jesus was called a blasphemer, and why some of the religious leaders were angry with him. There will also be some questions in the end after we read these three stories, so make sure you pay attention. And you can also hit a pause on this recording as you try to get to the right place in the Bible. So the first story we're going to read out of Matthew chapter 9. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic laying on the bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." This group of scribes didn't believe that Jesus was God, so therefore they called blasphemy on him. And blasphemy was a very serious crime. Usually Jewish people would throw rocks at the person guilty of blasphemy until he's dead. And in this story, when they see Jesus saying, "Son, your sins are forgiven." They call blasphemy on him because only God has the authority and power to forgive sins. Let us go ahead and flip a few pages over to Matthew 12, and we're going to get into the second story. Matthew 12, verses 9 through 14. This is a story of Jesus healing on the Sabbath. Now, when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" This they said, so they might accuse him. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they may destroy him. So once again, we see how the Pharisees get very angry with Jesus that he does these things on the holy day. And the third story we're going to read from John chapter 10, starting with verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For good works we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." So once again, we see that people are angry at Jesus for saying that he is God. Now, before we move on, let's have a family discussion with the next questions. First question. The first story that we read from the book of Matthew, what did Jesus do that made Pharisees angry? Second question would be for the second story that we read from the book of Matthew. What did Jesus do that made Pharisees angry again? And the third question would be for the third story that we read out of the book of John. What did Jesus do that made Pharisees so angry this time, to the point that they wanted to stone him? Now, let's try to figure out, was Jesus innocent or guilty of blasphemy? Now, usually it is wrong to break the law, right? Sometimes, however, it is important to break the law to save someone's life. Am I right? For instance, what is the difference between these two situations? First, an ambulance driver hears there's an emergency. He turns on special lights, drives faster than the speed limit, and even runs through a red light so he can help save someone's life. Second situation, your uncle really wants to get home on time for the big game on TV. He drives faster than the speed limit and even runs through the red light. Now, who broke the law? It was the uncle, right? Why wasn't the ambulance driver guilty of breaking the law? His job gives him the authority to drive faster than the speed limit and go through red lights to help save people's lives. Now, we talked about blasphemy. When someone claims to do or say something that only God should do or say, we also learned that Pharisees accused Jesus of blasphemy and said he deserves to die as a penalty for it. But was Jesus really guilty of blasphemy? Of course not. So let's take a look at a couple of scriptures in the Bible that shows us that Jesus Christ was truly God and human at the same time. Now, once we'll be done with these scriptures, there will be some questions for you to discuss with your family. First, let us open to John chapter 1, and we're going to read the first three verses. And we're also going to read the 14th verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, these four verses might sound a little confusing, right? Well, the word Word in these verses mean Jesus. So let us read it in this way. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see that Jesus is God, and that he did became human being and lived amongst people. Let's open up to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and see what those verses tell us about Jesus and him being fully human and fully God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him in giving him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So in these verses we see that Jesus Christ was fully God, but he limited himself in such a way that he could also be completely human. And in this way we see Jesus Christ as God becoming man, living an obedient life to the point of death. And because Jesus was obedient to Father, Father resurrected him, and he will bring his name to a high status. And we read that every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every single one will confess and proclaim that Jesus Christ is God. Now, remember how ambulance driver wasn't guilty of speeding because the law gave him the authority to drive faster than the speed limit? Well, in the same sense, Jesus Christ is not guilty of blasphemy, because even though Jesus said the things like I and the Father are one, and he healed people on the Sabbath, he wasn't guilty of breaking any of God's laws. He was completely innocent. Why? Because he is God. And as God, Jesus has the authority to say and to do what God wants to say and to do. Now, let's take a moment to have a discussion with the family. And two questions we have. First question is for the first book that we read from the book of John. There's one word that is specifically being repeated over and over. What is that word, and what does that word mean? And also, what do those four verses teach us about Jesus? Second question is going to be from the book of Philippians that we've read. In what way did Jesus Christ show obedience to God the Father? And what is the result of that obedience? And as we continue, let's try to imagine once again that we are living in the times of Jesus' crucifixion. Once again, try to imagine that Jesus is dead. And you, as a child, are trying to understand why dying was Jesus' reason for living on this earth. And thank God we have Bible that gives us an answer. So we are going to take a look at three scriptures, and after which I will have questions for you. So first scripture is going to be in book of John, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, John the Baptist proclaims that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and he clearly says that he is to take away the sin of the world. Now, sin of the world, let's try to understand what is sin of the world and whose sin is John talking about. And to understand that, we are going to open up Book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that every single one has sinned and is short of glory of God. So when John is referring to Jesus Christ as Lamb of God who takes away the sin, he's talking about the sin of humanity, our sin, my sins, your sins. Now, remember in the beginning I mentioned the punishment for sin. Do you remember? In the same book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23, we read, "For the punishment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So let's try to tie all those three together. Punishment for sin is death. Everyone has sinned. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. Now, in the Bible, many years ago, before Jesus came, God allowed someone to substitute the life of a perfect little lamb in the place for his or her own life. That seems pretty strange to us, doesn't it? Do you think little lamb were guilty of sin against God? Did the lamb deserve to die? Of course not. But the punishment for sin is death, and God didn't want to kill the people he loved, so he allowed the innocent lamb to be substitute for the guilty men, women, and children. So he allowed them to offer the blood of a innocent lamb as a payment for their sins. There is a saying, if you want something done right, do it yourself. God knew that human beings could never figure out a way to live their lives free from sin. So rather than making us continue to sacrifice innocent animals, God the Father sent God the Son to earth to live a perfect life and then to die. Jesus died as a substitute sacrifice to pay for the sins of every single person who has ever lived. For you, for me, for your parents, your brother and your sister, every single person.
Now, let's see how you remember the three scriptures that we've read. Three questions. First, what was Jesus called by John the Baptist? Second, how many people have sinned in this world? Third, what is the penalty for sin?
And as we finish up today's lesson, I want us to once again try to imagine what would be going through your mind on that Saturday when Jesus was crucified on Friday and buried. And you're sitting in your room trying to figure this all out, not knowing or maybe not believing that he would be resurrected tomorrow. So far we've learned that Jesus Christ is God, and therefore he had the authority to say and to do whatever he wanted. And that was the reason why Pharisees were angry with him. So angry that they end up killing him. But let us not forget that Jesus Christ willingly allowed his blood to be shed and died an incredibly painful death. Jesus chose to die so that sin would no longer separate us from God. And before we finish it up, I would like us to take a look at two more verses in the Bible. And they are in Book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 26, and then chapter 10, verse 10. I will go ahead and read those two verses together. Jesus then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By that, we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. Jesus Christ's death on the cross was for you, for me. He took our place. We no longer need to make animal sacrifices because Jesus Christ became the perfect sacrifice, one time for all people. And in the Bible, it tells us that because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later, we can now be friends with God. The Bible also says that our sins are completely forgiven. We become part of God's family and we will live with God forever. Now that is the most wonderful news in the whole universe, isn't it? And that brings me to our final questions for this lesson. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins on the cross? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later? And if you answered yes, do you want to pray and thank God for saving you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day you've given us. Thank you so much, Lord, for the technology that we have today that we can communicate with each other through these recordings. Lord, I thank you for your word, the Bible. And I thank you that we today can read it and study it and learn a lot about you. Thank you so much that you have shown us how you came to this world, how you lived your life, and how you willingly gave your life up for us. Jesus, we thank you for sacrificing your body and taking upon the punishment of the sin. And we're so thankful that through that sacrifice, we can now be friends with God. We thank you that through that sacrifice, our sins are forgiven. And we thank you that you have opened up a door to heaven to be with you. And Lord, I pray for every child that hears this lesson, that they do understand the reason of you coming to this world. That they do understand that they have also sinned against you, and that there's only one way that they can come to you, and that is by believing that you have come to this world and died for them. Lord, I pray that that simple truth becomes clear to these children and that they understand it. Thank you so much, Jesus, for everything that you do in our lives. I pray that you continue working in our lives and continue revealing yourself to us. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you and we praise you and worship you. And it is such a joy that we have such a wonderful, amazing, and almighty God as you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.